We used to play a game with our girls where someone would hide something in a room and then someone else would have to find it. It seems that I spend a lot of my time these days playing something similar, except I'm usually searching for something that I had in my hands just 5 minutes ago. But back to the game. The object will be hidden and someone would search for it. And if they were close to finding it, those watching them would encourage them by saying, you're getting warmer. You're getting warmer. Or if they moved away from it, we would say, no, you're getting cold again. You're getting colder. And so it would continue getting warmer and, oh, you're cold. Until eventually they found what they were looking for. Starting way back, Genesis, God promised a savior, the one who would rescue his people from their sin. The prophets spoke about this promised one who would come, save his people. They were getting warmer. He would be from David's family, born in Bethlehem, and all the time getting warmer as they got ever closer to the Savior. Then there was a gap. There was a 400-year gap between the Old and the New Testaments. Now, if you want to open your Bible at the end of Malachi, the last book in the Old Testament, there's only maybe a page or two between that and the start of Matthew's Gospel, the start of the New Testament. And sometimes we look at them as just continuing from one into the other. And in many ways they do, but there was a long time gap there. It wasn't just a page or two, it was about 400 years when the prophecies, although they still stood, no one knew if they were getting warmer or colder. The Messiah would come, but no one knew when or how. And so the world waited for those prophecies to be fulfilled. But the prophecies weren't just about the Messiah. The Old Testament also spoke of someone who would prepare the way for this Messiah. And so, in the reading that Robert read for us from Mark's Gospel, we hear this quotation: I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. Mark in his gospel is always very, very simple, very straightforward, almost blunt. And he simply records, so John came, baptizing in the desert region, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. This was John, the one who would prepare the way for the promised Messiah. And things are definitely starting to get warmer. His practice of baptizing those who came to him in repentance was such a characteristic of his ministries that he became known as the baptizer or the Baptist. The repentance that he called people to was a deliberate turning from their sin and a turning to the grace of God. So when John called people to repent, he's echoing much of what the prophets had said in earlier times. Because where there is repentance, God forgives. In the Bible, we read, if we confess our sins, He, God, is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. And to mark that, John baptized those who came and confessed their sins and turned from them. Well, he must have made quite an impression, this John. He wore clothes made out of camel hair. He wore a leather belt around his waist. It was the same outfit that had been worn by Elijah and some of the other prophets. And he got by on a diet of honey and wild locusts. He made do with what he had in the desert. And perhaps it was this simple, very starkly different lifestyle, coupled with a strong call to repent that had people coming to him from all over the country. For 400 years, there hadn't been a prophet in Israel, but now things were definitely getting warmer. And if you and I had been in John's position, well, there would have been a temptation, I'm sure, to enjoy the limelight, to get a bit of a big head. After all, just look at the crowds. Look at the crowds that are coming from all over the region to hear. He could have had a more comfortable life. Maybe he could have got a better set of clothes. Maybe he could have had a more varied diet. But John remains totally in focus. John knows that his purpose is to prepare the way. His purpose is to point others to Jesus. And he says at the end of that little passage that Robert read for us, "After me will come one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals are not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water," says John, "but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." And now things are most definitely getting warmer. John is looking for this Messiah. In the Gospel of John, we read this lovely account of John the Baptist who sees Jesus coming towards him, points to him and says, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, a man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel. I have seen and I testify that this is the Son of God." So all of those promises, all of those prophecies, all the way through the Old Testament, all of those getting warmer cries as people felt they were getting closer and closer to this Messiah, this Christ, the promised one, he's now here. John has been doing his job, pointing to Jesus, preparing the way for the Messiah. For John, life is all about Jesus. He's not worried about what he will wear or what he will eat. It's all about Jesus. His prayer, John the Baptist's prayer in John chapter 3, is always a challenge to me. When he simply looks at Jesus and says, "He must become greater, I must become less. He must become greater, I must become less." What a challenge for Advent. What a challenge for our celebrations of Christmas. If our celebrations of Christmas are about Jesus becoming greater in our lives, in our community, and us becoming less. In these days of Advent, what's your life all about? Is it about a bit of a panic now the shops are open and I can get back out again and do some shopping before Christmas? Are you fixated on what your Christmas celebration will be like and who will be there? Part of our preparing the way is to simply ask, in what way do we need to become less and Jesus become greater? That's a challenge. It's a challenge to me. Preparing the way is still the same. Preparing the way is still about confession and repentance, turning away from our sin and turning to the God who, because of this Jesus, reaches out to us with forgiveness. We need to make Jesus greater in our lives, in our celebrations. We need to prepare the way as we confess and repent and turn again to the God of all grace. 2020 has been marked by uncertainty, marked by the unexpected. COVID has turned our lives upside down in so many different ways. But one of the things that the whole pandemic has done is to show us, sometimes painfully, where our priorities lie. And as though the uncertainty of COVID wasn't enough, now we have the uncertainty of Brexit surrounding us as well. So, how do we, as God's people, point to Jesus in the maelstrom in which we live. Let me remind you of something that I said last week and which has stuck in my mind. We have hope, and hope has a name. His hope is Jesus. And so we need to be people who, in the midst of all this uncertainty, in the midst of anxiety, in the midst of unexpected things happening, we need to be people who live in hope. Scotty Smith is an American pastor whose words are always very insightful. His prayers are always very thoughtful, very moving. Let me read you something that he said, he wrote this week that I read. It says this: hope doesn't replace fear. It invades it. Rejoicing doesn't replace weariness. It inhabits it. Joy doesn't replace weariness. It impregnates it with hope. Fear, weariness, those could be the things that mark us. But the things which God calls to be markers in our lives are joy and hope because of Jesus. So as this morning we think about pointing to Jesus, preparing the way, let me leave with you two prayers. One again is that prayer of John the Baptist, that deep challenge. He must become greater. I must become less. How will that work out in your life, in your celebrations? And then one other prayer from Paul as he writes to the church, the early church, and says this: may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him. That's a lovely prayer, that we would be filled with joy and peace as we trust in God. But it's not finished. May he fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. As Jesus becomes greater in our lives, as Jesus becomes greater in our church, in our community, in our celebrations, may we be filled with joy and peace as we trust in him. And may the hope with which he fills us overflow by the power of the Holy Spirit, not just in our lives, but into the lives of those around us. How do we point to Jesus? How do we prepare the way? By overflowing with hope. In a world which desperately needs hope. And we have hope to a certain extent in vaccines. We have hope in advances that are being made. We have hope in so many different ways, but ultimately, the hope is in Jesus Christ. As we trust in Jesus, as we experience the joy and hope which he alone can give, may our lives point to him.